Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And what do you know, it is Generation Next, 4 minutes past seven on Monday the 12th of November. Tonight you're joined by Dil, Vic and Cal.
Hoi.
G'day, g'day.
Oh, g'day, g'day.
It clearly wasn't me saying g'day, g'day.
Vic, you can really distort your voice there. We've got another amazing show on tonight for you lovely Joy fans and Gen Next listeners. We were talking again about the HIV stigma, which, you know, we've got to talk about this because enough discrimination. And there's a couple of really awesome open letters and letters that have been sent to various media that we would love to share with you guys tonight. And at any point throughout the night, feel free to join in on the conversation. Send us a message on 0427-JOY-949 or our call front desk on 1300-JOY-949. Or if you've got something a little bit longer to say, you know, shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au. Hey, Vic, what did you do on the weekend?
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh.
So relaxing.
So relaxing.
It was amazing. Just had a movie night.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just chill with the guys. It was good.
Awesome. What movies did you watch?
Lord of War. I always get that word. Yeah. Oh. With Nicolas Cage. True story, too, apparently.
Yeah.
And an awesome movie as well.
I don't know why I keep saying Ward of Law.
Ward of Law.
It makes no sense whatsoever, but I have a tendency to, you know, be dyslexic a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing wrong with being a bit dyslexic. And Cal, how about yourself? What did you get up to?
I went to Harvest Festival yesterday. It was amazing. It was mind-blowingly awesome.
How was cake?
Cake was the highlight.
Ugh.
It was so good. Oh.
Pretty jealous right now.
Yeah, well, you should be, because you really missed out.
Yeah, well, cake are awesome.
I don't think Dill missed out at all. He's got a pretty mint red tan going on.
Yeah, I am really, really burnt. My arms match my hair pretty nicely. And my face. And
free
my
massages
neck.
For Dill, anybody?
Well, when I was walking past Trev before, he was just like, I just want to slap it. I'm like, no, 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 please, please don't hit me.
The first thing I wanted to do when I came in, I was like, oh my God, Dylan, just, oh, how are you?
It's like a target sign right on
it
you.
It is. And you know what? I've done it to many of my friends, and they've rocked up and they're like, oh, I'm really, really sunburnt. I'm like, really? Where?
Better watch your back.
Better watch. Oh, no, I've got a tat right in the middle of my sunburn as well. So it's just like bullseye. Hit right here. Awesome. I'm just setting myself up for people running down the street now. Hey, there he is.
Dylan will be leaving the studio at around probably, I don't know, 10, quarter past 8.
Oh, no, no. I mean, 8 a.m. Come tomorrow. I won't be here. Look, I just want to kick straight away. There's an open letter written by a gent named Sam Bartlett. He's a 32-year-old and straight, and Sam's like as Aussie as they come. He works for his dad and lives with his girlfriend. Sadly, Sam doesn't have any close gay friends. However, that didn't dissuade him from writing an amazing letter to The Observer, dripping with irony and cynicism in response to some comments made by Gladstone Star of the Sea Parish priest, Father Paul Mahoney. So here's Sam's letter. Here we go again with these malcontent gays trying to legitimize their foul, sinful ways. Unfortunately, the esteemed Father Paul Mahoney, quoted in Saturday the 29th of the 10th, is probably right. And these hell-bound homosexual heathens, phonies, will have their unholy cake and eat it too, regardless of whether we want them to. Thank the Lord that they aren't allowed to call it marriage. Imagine the look on Jesus' face if we allowed the abominations to marry, in the same way as the good, moral, honest, humble, God-fearing folk do. It's bad enough we allow those filthy atheists to. God didn't kill himself for nothing, you know. Leave it so we can still still marry our aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, and first cousins, though. Too bad we got rid of slavery and capital punishment already. We could have had those problems solved in a jiffy. Heed the good father's warning, people of all ages, we all need to be fearful of these rash cultural changes that drift us further away from God's perfect law. We need to slow things right down and stop, take a look at our lot, and the changes we've been making in society, then start going backwards. Back to the day where God's law was the law. Death by stoning for gays, drunks, blasphemers, and more. No crayfish. Blood sacrifice. No mixed cloth clothing. Put your faith before reason and let the grace of God in.
And this was written in 2012?
Yeah. This, Sam, he posted it after that lovely parish father made those really hideous comments about same-sex marriage.
What was he saying?
He was talking about that, you know, it's an epoch on Christianity and an epoch on modern culture, and, you know, we're kind of dissolving the Australian moral code. And Sam just picked it apart in a really, really awesome, ironic way. But a lot of people, when this letter was first published, they didn't understand that it
was like, a joke.
It was taking the mickey. And he was like, no, I'm making fun.
I'm sure there are some people out there who are still going, yeah, Sam Bartlett's with us. We've still got the youth.
They definitely wouldn't have gotten the irony.
No. I do love the last line. It sums it up nicely. Put your faith before reason and let the grace of God in.
I just like the no crayfish. No,
no crayfish. Yeah.
That part gets me the most. If anyone else, like, honestly, if anyone has anything to say while we are yammering on tonight, feel free to message in 0427-JOY-949 or send us a message on 1300-JOY-949.
Text me, baby.
Text me. Call me, maybe. I can't sing, so I'm just going to...
Don't sing that song, regardless.
It's just, yeah, I'm not going to get on. I've had many a social media rant.
We love it when you do.
Oh, thanks, babe. Hey, who wants to hear some new music?
Depends what it is, Dill. You always surprise me, so I'm waiting.
Well, here's our Melbourne-based Drop Fame with Shimmer. You are listening to Generation Next, 10 minutes past 7.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Generation Next. Love it.
Welcome back to Generation Next. You're here with Dill, Vic and Cal. We just are talking about our open letters that we're trying to get people to start writing in. And we've come across a letter written by Matt Young last week after Obama was re-elected as president of the US of A in regards to us, gay people. I grew up in middle-class neighbourhood in the Christian threshold of Sydney's northwest suburbs. When I was in school, I was bullied to the point that I couldn't turn a corner without someone screaming out, faggot or poofter. My agriculture teacher used to make a mockery of me in front of the other boys, once telling me that to fit in, I needed to lower my voice. Life was pretty tough back then. As a 14-year-old kid, I was still trying to figure out my own identity and sexuality while dodging sausage rolls that would be thrown at me from the field. I learned to keep my head down and show no fear in the face of ignorance and hatred. Now, this is what I ask of you, Prime Minister. Show no fear. Right now, you're our only hope, Julia. We need you to stand tall, speak up, and make a difference. An August Galaxy poll showed 64% of Australians believe same-sex couples should be allowed to marry, up 2 percentage points from February. I'm looking for a leader who isn't afraid to challenge traditional views, who is willing to be the voice of its people, and who has the balls to stand up for equality. The world is changing. Whether the right wing like it or not, gay marriage will happen. But the question is, will you be a sheep or a shepherd? Heed our call.
And that was written by Matt Young, one of the new journalists on news.com. And I thought he did that quite well, writing a letter, using his position to get that letter out there as well.
Mm.
Because since that letter's been published, it has been retweeted and shared so many times. Like, it's really... Like, we've been harping on about this for weeks now, Vic.
It needs to be done.
It needs to be done, and it needs...
We do account for a certain percentage of the population.
Yes, we do. And, I remember watching this one video, and mind you, this was from New York when they were originally talking about bringing in legalizing marriage in New York, or same-sex marriage. And this one pastry chef who was like, look, I'm just going to say this. If same-sex marriage is legalized, my business is going to double. And like, that's a really good way to think about it because, you know what? Here's a way that, you know, we can use that to our advantage. Putting money back into the economy, that money then gets taxed and then gets redistributed to lower our nation's deficit as well. So why don't we use that to our advantage?
Weddings create a lot of A lot of revenue.
Yeah. Well, here's a crazy thing. This, and I look, these aren't, these are approximates, but if they were, if they, if Sydney didn't run the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras for 1 year, that would cost the New South Wales government $1 billion.
Well, our partying ways are a profit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because it draws so many people in from tourism. Imagine if we...
And not just gay people go, like other people go as well for the just the actual event and environment and everything like that.
Because we know how to party. Talk to any straight person that says, oh, I love going to gay clubs. Gay people know how to party.
Mm-hmm. We're on a different level.
We are. It's because we're just awesome.
On a higher level. I like it.
So, something that comes across, and I think will become more prevalent, is that politicians are going to see that you can support gay marriage openly, like Obama has, and still get voted in. You're not going to suddenly get shot down by all the like crazy right wings and liberalists saying.
That just going back to like Obama, what the Republican Party have found is that they are so out of touch with their core values and their beliefs. And it's crazy because people are moving forward, whether the conservatives of the world want it to or not. People are, you know, they're leaving these notions that if you aren't, if you don't fall under these direct like definitions, then, you know, we don't want a bar of it, or, you know, there's something wrong with you. People are smartening up, and they're not scared to tell people that, hey, you're wrong. What you're saying is wrong. It's crazy. People are amazing things. I may have just been watching a lot of Doctor Who. That's why I have this newfound love for humanity.
You got a valid point, Bart, I reckon. Mm. So, hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, but I'd love to know what our lovely listeners think. How far away do you think Australia is from moving to same-sex marriage? Text us on 0427-JOY-949, or even give us a call on 1300-JOY-949, because we'd love to hear. We'd love to get a discussion and open talk on this.
I'm hoping that Julia Gillard changes her perspective a bit now.
Yeah.
Because gay marriage is becoming so much more, you know, it's just, it's a big issue for a lot of the nation, whether you love or hate it. And it's also, and, you know, like in traditionally very right-wing countries like the US, it's becoming legalized more and more in more and more states.
Yeah,
I'm hoping a domino effect will just gradually occur.
Well, that's like in Matt Young's letter, he was saying he listed the nations that have supported and legalized gay marriage: Argentina, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Iceland, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Spain, South Africa, and Sweden. In the US,
and they're all prominent countries. They're not, you know, they're not small No,
these countries are all in the UN.
Well,
most of them are in the UN.
Take a leaf out of the book, Gillard.
Yeah, come on.
Not that I want to get married anytime soon.
Oh, no, I totally do not want to get married.
But I'm sure, like, even, not even gay people, but even, like, you know, the gay person's families and their friends that support them and stuff, I'm sure they want to be, like, want that for them as well.
And I think what, like, I don't want to get married, but I'd like the chance to say no. I don't like that being taken away from me.
Get on my knees and tell me you love me.
I held you out on a limb for nothing. No, I'm totally not that person.
You're winning yourself so many friends tonight.
Well, even like how the states are moving to, you know, addressing marriage equality. And in the US, 10 states now recognize same-sex marriage. I'm really bad at maths and I work in finance.
Out of 52 states?
Yeah. That's a percentage. That's a number, you know. 10 out of 52. I don't have a calculator on me. If you do, you'll earn muchos.
About 20%, I think.
20%. Yeah, cool. Cal wins the mucho respect.
Yes.
America's got a large population, but so I would assume that, you know, all those majority voters and stuff, there would be a big amount. If Obama supports it and they support him, there should be a lot of people going for it, like not having an issue with it or going for it, whichever, but supporting it either way.
Yeah. And what I don't get, this is just what really, really doesn't, like, I can't do the math. It just doesn't, like, it just won't go. These people that are against it, how does it affect their life in any way? Like, how does it? Because I'm gonna go out on a bit of a limb here and say that these people don't have a giant body of gay and lesbian friends. True. I'm just gonna say, like, I'm just gonna go out on a whim. How do they like think that it's gonna affect their lives in any way at all?
It might be that they
people are afraid of the unknown. I reckon it's just fear. It's just fear. They don't even know what they're scared of. I reckon that's honestly what it is. Like, we're going to go after them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, oh my God, the gays are going to have the power.
And do what with it? Maybe open a couple more nightclubs, yeah. Have a few more festivals.
There'd be like a whole heap of
we
like
do more
bars.
Than party, but I mean, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we'd love to party. Oh, and we have got some message in. Cal, I think this one needs a bit of an explanation. Hi, Cal. It's Lenny, the dog stealer from Sammy's house on Cup Day. Just thought I'd say hi. What? What?
The dog stealer from Sammy's house.
Lainey.
Oh, I remember you. That dog was on Cup Day. I was over at a mate's housewarming, and there was one dog. She had two little dogs, and one was just... It's a bit off topic, guys, but it needs explanation. One dog was all about, you know what? You. I'll have a cuddle from you. And there's this one dog that wouldn't have a bar of me, and I was determined to win it over. I was feeding it bread and sausage, and it was like, I'll hang around. Sure. No, that's fine.
You bought this dog's love.
I almost bought the dog's love. I was about to get a cuddle, and Lainey swoops in and goes, I can't remember the dog's name. It wasn't Giles. She swoops in and goes, oh, hi, Giles. Dog runs over to her after eating my sausage, and she just picks it up and wanders off. Thanks, Lainey. Thanks.
From eating my sausage. I'm moving on to the next message now. We've got a message in from James saying, don't mistake reactionary for conservative. David Cameron is a conservative PM of Britain, and he is campaigning for full homo equality, adoption, marriage, the works. Look, James, that's a really valid point. I mean, even look in our own shores, Malcolm Turnbull, he is of the Conservative Party. And he rocks out with the homo rights. He couldn't think of a way to word
exactly,
that.
Rocks out. Great use of term there.
Yeah, I know. It's a good media jargon. Rock out. But he also supports the queer community in his area because he's in a large gay area. And I love Turnbull. Look, I could talk about how much I love Turnbull all day because he's awesome. And his dreamy eyes.
He's been a part of the community for a long time, even before he got into politics. Mm. So, I mean, I reckon he's been around. So, not in a bad way. But been around and gotten to know a lot of different individuals and probably heard about their stories and things like that. So he probably has a lot of different perspectives to reflect on and take into consideration.
He can see into the future and he knows where the country's going. And where we're heading to. And
the momentum is there. You're right. Yeah, he does see. The momentum is there. That's what I'm saying. Only domino effect. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got another message in from South Yarra. I guess I don't think that...
South Yarra's texted in before.
Yeah, South Yarra. Whoa. I'm thinking that this might be in reference to us taking away the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. I think that might be what he's referring to. But a year tops, and then we can have the mother of all parties. If I'm wrong, South Yarra, please message Mangs.
Oh, no. He's saying it's going to be a year tops before we get equalised gay marriage.
Oh, there we go. Well, that'd be pretty cool.
We could have the I want a mother of all parties now.
Yeah, well, I want a party right now. I don't want to have to go to work tomorrow. I don't want to have to deal with my deadlines. I want a party.
South Yarra, organise something. Let us know.
Go on, hit us up. You know, send us an email when it's all done, South Yarra. But yeah, guys, in all honesty, that's really, really cool. South Yarra, I like your idea in a year that we could have marriage equality.
It's doable.
Yeah, I think that we're a couple of years off just because we've got so many old values in Parliament.
Still indented, for sure. Yeah.
I think we're a couple of elections off, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is something that's more measured in elections than years.
Tony Abbott ain't getting anywhere.
I think he's just more of a hindrance to the Liberal Party.
He actually entertains me. I read the paper and I'm like, oh, Abbott's in the paper. What's going on now?
I can't stand the man.
Whenever I see him on news, I do expect to hear the Benny Hill music or some kind of like slapstick sound effects when he's yammering on. But look, I think that he is holding the Liberal Party back. I just wish that we could have Turnbull in. Exactly, from South Yarra messaging back in. So, yes, that was the year away. Awesome, South Yarra. Love you.
Thank you, the entire population of South Yarra.
All of you. Especially you, South Yarra texter. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
28 minutes past 7. This is Generation Next with Dil, Vic and Cal. Is that exciting? Did that amp the mood up a bit?
It gets me excited.
Yeah.
I mean, and not a lot of things get me excited. So, Dil, you know, I think you should put that down in the bucket list as a tick it off. Exciting Vicky, done.
I am certified by Vic. That's awesome.
You know it.
You know it. I know it. Hey, do you know what time it is?
I'm getting excited already.
Oh, yes!
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's gay school.
Birds are coming up. Big Gay Brother. Benjamin Norris was crowned winner of Big Brother 2012. He created history in Australia. His triumph on the same day that America re-elected its first president to ever openly endorse same-sex marriage. This appears to be further proof that Australia has come to the big gay party. For what is Big Brother but a popularity contest? Politicians have long cowered behind unfounded assertions that same-sex marriage was not the prevailing wish of the people. But Ben's win must surely inflict at least a chink in that rusting armour. Early estimates say 1.473 million people watched the winner's announcement across Australia's five capital cities, a figure that is expected to increase once regional viewership is included. Add to that the fact that Nine has managed what many thought impossible in repositioning Big Brother as something of a family-orientated program, a move most notably signalled by its doing away with the scandal-plagued adults-only program. And the significance of Ben's win becomes clearer. Here is an openly gay, often camp man in a committed relationship who has won a well-known, culturally relevant reality television series that was repackaged to be family-friendly and is judged purely on personality in a time when support for same-sex marriage has never been higher. This is a really, really awesome win. However, Ben has said, and even Ed from the Popportunity, when he's been on in the past, he says that Ben did not want to be the face of the gay community, but he is inadvertently like
he can't
become.
Help. No, he couldn't help that at all. And the fact that he had such a welcoming personality and he was true to himself on the show as well. I mean, he was bound to. I mean, whether he liked it or not, which is a good thing though, because everyone loved him for who he was. Instead of, oh, that's the gay guy.
Yeah,
we like him.
Yeah, And it's amazing that we had this opportunity. And look, Ben has even said, "Look, I'm just a reality TV contestant. I'm not the face of the gay community at all." But he kind of has been. That's just like when a pop star says, you know, I've never been a role model. It's like, well, you're in the face.
That's part of the, I mean, when you apply for things like that. When you go down a path like that, it just comes with it.
Yeah, we did just get a message in from a fellow named James. I think marriage equality is about 9 years away, and a decent anti-discrimination act with teeth would take about 12 years. Adoption, about 15 years. In short, we need a generation of God. Oh, in short, yeah, James, that's an awesome message. Hey, there's more gay school coming up. Hey, awesome gay school articles.
Other wins for the LGBTI community. Three ballot measures on marriage equality were approved in states of Maryland, Maine, and Washington. This is the first time gay marriage has been put into a popular vote in the country and won. Another ballot measure which asked voters in the state of Minnesota to approve a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage was defeated.
Yeah!
And they're in the middle of the states, Central America, the scariest middle place America. To go as a gay person or an African American person, just anyone who's not white, basically.
Anyone who's not a white, Christian.
So the wins were in stark contrast to the success of the Proposition 8 ballot measure in California 4 years ago, which halted same-sex marriages in the U.S.'s most populous state. Maine had also rejected a referendum on marriage equality just 3 years ago. The approval by voters was a crushing defeat for conservative religious groups such as the National Organization for Marriage, a.k.a. NOM. NOM contributed a record $5.5 million to the campaigns. Last week, the organization's president, Brian Brown, discredited polling which indicated increasing support for gay marriage, only conceding there might be some losses when voters went to the polls. There are reported to be up to 818 other LGBT identifying candidates who won office at various levels of government and the judiciary.
LGBTI mental health gets Beyond Blue injection. Beyond Blue has provided a major funding injection of $1.2 million into LGBTI research grants, continuing its campaign of highlighting mental health issues in the gay community. Six research projects focusing on GLBTI people were revealed today, with a contribution of $240,000 from Movember for a study into the effects of prostate cancer on mental health in older gay men. Mustaches help people. Beyond Blue CEO Kate Carnell said research had identified a need for research, specifically looking at the GLBTI community's mental health needs. Our research shows that discrimination and bullying significantly contribute to depression, anxiety, and the risk of suicide among GLBTI people. Same-sex attracted, sex and gender diverse people face widespread discrimination just for being themselves. Both subtle and overt prejudice and discrimination are major contributors to much higher rates of depression and anxiety amongst GLBTI communities than in the general population.
I would just like to, first of all, nice little subtle plug for Movember.
That's all right. It's happening right now, people.
It is. And also, one thing that I don't think a lot of people understand who aren't in our community, that homosexuality doesn't cause depression and anxiety. Homophobia causes
yes.
depression and anxiety.
Very
and
much so.
That's one thing that needs to be reiterated, and I'm really loving that Beyond Blue is getting on board with this, because it seems like you hear a lot of the drums for the youth, and that's a great thing, you know, that's why we're here. We're here for the youth. But not a lot for the older generation, and that's the worst thing when they get pigeonholed and it's like, oh, we'll leave that for then, or you know, we just won't do anything for them.
It's almost like that generation's a lost cause. Let's concentrate on the young.
Yeah, which is, I can't say it on
completely
air.
Untrue.
I love the old people.
Yeah, I do like old people. I just love how they have all these like really awesome stories, and they've lived some pretty cool lives.
They would have done it differently to how we do it now, for sure. Like, I mean, especially back then, everything was a little bit more secretive, under the wraps. So I reckon the support that they should be showing, should be for them, as well as the youth. But the youth, I reckon, more in the education system.
Yeah, and well, youth, like after going to the National Safe School Symposium and talking to the youth, they're the ones who are actually initiating a lot of these changes. Mm. So the elderly, they do need our support.
The people at school, they don't want to talk about it. Like, I mean, like the people in charge, like the teachers, the administrators, they don't want to talk about it unless it's brought up.
Well, Keilor Downs College, they were actually the principal was approached by the students from a gay straight alliance started by the students. So, that's just awesome.
I want to go back to school. I mean, not that I ever had an issue. I was actually pretty lucky, but I'd love to go back to school now and be more open about it.
Do you know what? Yeah. I had an issue when I was living in New South Wales, but then when going to high school in Queensland, I didn't have any issues whatsoever. And it's just really, that just tickles me, because it's like, why would Queensland be like that?
Maybe they're more metro there.
Well, it was the Gold Coast, so.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan would have loved that.
Oh, beach.
No tops on.
And no tops. New queer festival for Shepparton. Shepparton is the latest regional centre to host a queer festival in Victoria, with hopes to replicate the success of the popular Chill Out Fest. The Out in the Open Festival will kick off next weekend and will mark the first for the region. Drag performances from Vanessa Wagner and live music from contemporary singer Jade Leonard are the headline acts for the Carnival Day held at the Queen's Gardens. A health and wellbeing forum at the Goldburn Valley Hotel over the weekend will showcase presentations about the inequalities faced by the local LGBTI community in the region. The Out in the Open Festival runs November 16th to the 18th at Shepparton's Queen Gardens and Goldburn Valley Hotel.
As we were just discussing before, about HIV stigma and 8, the Age Day Duo is getting ready to raise awareness with entertainers Ricky Lee Coulter and Marsha Hines, who are teaming up to support people with HIV as Red Ribbon Appeal ambassadors. The pair launched the appeal earlier this week ahead of World AIDS Day on 1st of December. Street Collectors will be out nationally to raise funds on Friday, November 30th and Saturday, the 1st of December. You can also purchase ribbons at participating stores. Marsha has been a Red Ribbon ambassador for many years, while Ricky Lee was a Red Ribbon envoy for the first time last year. Right now, there are almost 25,000 Australians living with HIV. When you take into account their partners, family, friends and carers, there are hundreds of thousands of people just here in Australia whose lives have been affected. Coulter said HIV had also affected her life, which was why she believed in encouraging people to become involved in fundraising and to increase awareness.
In health, stigma remains an issue. A new report has revealed that stigma continues to affect people living with HIV/AIDS. The results from the HIV Stigma Audit Community Report, undertaken over the last 2 years by the National Association of People Living with HIV/AIDS, NAPWHA, described a level of stigma as moderate and found heterosexual men and women tended to suffer high rates of stigmatization. What we found is both encouraging and challenging, wrote the authors of their findings. We were encouraged by the many signs of resilience among people with HIV. Despite this major life challenge, most are getting on with leading fulfilling lives and bounce back from setbacks when they arise. The report found a number of areas which presented obstacles for people living with HIV/AIDS. Some of the challenges include ongoing stigma in many areas of life that we usually turn to for support, such as our sexual partners and our communities. The media was also singled out as an ongoing source of stigma. Do you guys remember the ad, I can't remember when it came out, raising awareness about the dangers of HIV/AIDS, and it had this a group of 10 people with death and the bowling ball. Yeah, the Grim Reaper.
That came out early. That was like in the late early 90s.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I was a bit of a baby, but we watched a documentary on the guy that actually made that ad, and it's the bowling ball.
Yeah. The people are the
pins who have AIDS.
Oh, wow.
And death bowls the bowling ball and knocks them all down. They're all terrible and fearful. It's a woman holding a baby.
One of the best ads in Australia. I just add that in.
It was brilliant in its day, but and something that this article is sort of bringing up is that the message needs to change. It's not AIDS is going to kill us all if it spreads. It's how the message is now how to live a fulfilling life with HIV/AIDS.
And contain it.
And contain.
Yeah. Stop the spread, but also don't fear the person.
Well, that's there's a big rise of youth that are becoming infected with HIV. And I guess the most important thing to remember is to practice safe sex and practice it from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, just get it, like, just, you know, it's like brushing your teeth or, you know, brushing your hair. You just practice just, safe sex.
Just do it.
Just do it.
It's illegal if you don't tell your sexual partner if you have
In Victoria, it's illegal. Yeah, if there's no protection, then it's you need to advise your partner.
And in New South Wales, you have to tell them regardless before sexual activity.
Yeah,
and there's a bit of an interesting thought about that as well. Is that should that law change? I mean, it keeps people safe, but thinking about it from the point of view of people, the mental health of people affected with HIV/AIDS, which is already, you know, they struggle with so much and so much stigma, is that causing more depression and more angst for them?
My personal opinion would be that it's such a slippery slope.
It really is.
I think that, you know, you really need to advise and let people know if, you know, the implications, something that might happen. Like, you need to be informed.
Safety needs to be key.
I would think that if you didn't want it and you have it, I would think that you wouldn't want the next person to have it.
Yeah,
let alone get it from you. So, I mean, they're really, like, I understand why there'd be some little minimal stigma, but I reckon if the person infected is honest and open, there shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Just remember to practice safe sex. We've got more Generation Next and Gay School coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hey, I'm Rav Thomas, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
12 minutes to 8, this is Generation Next with Dil, Vic and Cal, and we're midway through gay school.
We're nearly done, and I'm really upset.
It just goes so quick. This hour just flies. And hey, guys, remember, join the conversation at any point throughout the next 12 minutes.
Yeah, send us a text. Please do, because I just found out that some people, in regards to the HIV, they become spiteful and want to spread the infection.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm dumbfounded. I did not even think of that.
I think that'd be quite a small minority.
Small, definitely, yeah.
Exceptionally small.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking for the masses, just a little one.
But yeah, send us a message on 0427-JOY-949 or give us a call. Call front desk. Have a chat on 1300-JOY-949. Or if you have something a little bit bigger to say that won't fit on a text, shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au. Yeah.
So the new gay sex education in regards to diverse sexuality and gender may be taught to Australian students from as early as grade 9 as part of new national curriculum due in 2014. The development comes in light of research showing less than 1 in 5 young people were able to access relevant information about gay and lesbian safe sex from school. The 2010 Writing Themselves in 3 report found 44% of young LGBTI people did not find their sexuality education useful at all. The Australian Curriculum Assessment and Reporting Authority released its shape paper on health and physical education last month. As part of Year 9 and 10 learning objectives, students may be taught about sexuality, gender identity, sexual attitudes and behaviour. The paper is only a guide for curriculum writers who are expected to produce a draft by early next year for further public consultation.
I remember my health ed... And the most that we touched on, same gender sex, is that where to put a dental dam, basically, and
what's a dental dam?
Oh, it's like the female condom.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly for like oral.
I would have no idea
it's
what
like
that is.
It's like a thin sheet of latex that you put.
Neither would I.
Thin sheet of latex that you put in between you and what you feel like stimulating with your tongue, basically.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm surprised you actually even touched on that. I remember at my school, there was no, like, the only sexual education we got was heterosexual, purely. There was no such thing as homosexual education.
I wouldn't know. I was a really, really bad student.
Dylan just never went to class, everybody.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he's still got a job.
I still have a... No, don't take a step in my footsteps. You know, you want to keep staying in school. and go to all your classes, because then you might end up as a temp for the rest of your life. Like me! A queer youth survey launch. Victoria University has launched a study examining the experiences of queer people aged 14 to 23 in sport and physical education called Equal Play. Research officer Grant O'Sullivan told the Star Observer the study aimed to help improve the way schools and other organisations approach diversity in sports and physical education programs. Maybe at the end of it all, we will be able to help some recommendations that can feed into policy around education, Grant O'Sullivan said. Chief investigator Caroline Simmons said the research could illuminate the damage caused by discrimination. We know that same-sex attracted and gender-diverse young people face significant discrimination and it impacts on their mental health and well-being. Sport is a challenging, if not hostile, environment, particularly for young gay men. And I'd just like to say that I think, you know, that I love sport. And I just think that sport... It's just such a shame that some people do experience those, a hostile environment, because sport is just a really great way to build rapport and to, you know, learn something about yourself, challenging your body and seeing what your body can do.
You really, yeah, took the words right out of my mouth. And even without physicalness aside, I reckon it also helps team relationships, communication skills, breaks down barriers.
Absolutely. So, and oh, sorry, Vic.
I was going to say the hostility. I mean, keep it to a minimum, because you could be helping a brother out instead.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And one amazing thing about physical exercise is that after like about 2 weeks of doing physical exercise, your serotonin and dopamine levels come up. And if you don't know what they are, they're the chemicals that your brain release that make you feel really good and happy, and they help to balance out things
naturally.
Naturally. And they help to balance out if you're depressed or anxious. I know when, this is just my own example, when I get really stressed or anxious, I'll go for like a run and then afterwards I'm just like, oh, nothing matters. And you just get that tension out.
That's right.
Pound the pavement.
Dylan Adler, fitness first.
It's not really first. Adventure Time comes first.
Oh, I love it.
A study to look at queer Muslims in Australia. How GLBTIQ Muslim migrants experience and sometimes challenge homophobia and racism will be the focus of a new study being undertaken by a visiting American academic. A PhD candidate in geography at the University of Kentucky, who has previously conducted research on Islamophobia in the US context, Derek Ruiz, is currently in Australia seeking participants for the study he hopes will lead to a better understanding of the obstacles that GLBTIQ Muslim migrants face, as well as the strategies that people use to navigate them. Some of the challenges that have been identified by previous research include a lack of acceptance from families, experiences of racism within mainstream GLBTIQ communities, and vulnerability to both homophobic and racist violence. Something that really gets me about that is, and it's something that has annoyed me quite a bit in our sort of community, is the way some people, definitely not all of them, some people find themselves feeling safe and comfortable in, you know, like a GLBTI space, and suddenly they feel comfortable and they want to keep others out.
Yes.
Or they want to make that space their own, and suddenly they feel like, well, I'm empowered here, so now I'm going to get a bit of my own back.
Yeah. And do you know what? That just screams hypocrite.
Yeah, it's
to
incredibly hypocritical. And it's a shocking behavior. And it happens an awful lot, which is a real shame, because other people who need to find this safe space, especially vulnerable people, like people who have just moved into Australia.
Yeah, especially people who may have left their home nation because of prejudice.
Yes, exactly. Especially need this space, and they need to feel safe.
That's so right.
In exciting news, former Victorian hockey player Gus Johnson has been included in Out Magazine's list of 100 compelling people for 2012.
Yeah, Gus!
He's in good company on the US Gay Publications list, which includes Elton John and husband David Furnish, as well as British actor Simon Callow. Since his groundbreaking YouTube video, which sensitively documented the reality of homophobia in sport and his personal journey of coming out, Johnson has become an ambassador for the Fair Go Sport initiative, which encouraged hockey clubs to don rainbow socks and wristbands in July as part of a push to encourage teams and other sports to be more inclusive. Gus released a video talking about his experience with his own homosexuality within sport. It is very touching and is on our social media page. Jump online and leave us a comment or share it around.
Yeah. That is a really, really awesome video that he did publish. And yeah, I think that is really awesome. And he's really dreamy as well.
Jump on YouTube and check him out in all senses of the word.
Well, without sounding like a sexual predator, it's 8:04, and we're about to cruise out of here. We've totally run out of time, but guys, you know that we love to hear from you. We just got a quick text in. Can you include aged care institutions in the Royal Com on incest sex abuse risk? Murray, Little Paran. Not really sure how we can do that, Murray, but look, you know what? We can change the world if we try. I'm Dill. We've been here with Vic and Cal, and hey, loving it.
Yeah.
It's good to listen to you guys again.
Yeah,
it's good. I hope you guys enjoyed it too.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for everyone who texted in or emailed, got in contact with us, enjoyed the conversation, because we love finding out what you guys think.
Do it again next Monday. We can have an even broader discussion. I really enjoy that too as well. Good one, Cal.
See you guys.
Bye.
Take care.
What's up? I'm Stan Walker, and you're listening to Joy
94.9. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.